Okay, let's not put the knockers on it. All the mockers. All me knockers. I think I've got it. I've been tinkering around with buttons. Ignore all this. We're going to get straight into it.
Radio Primco. It's all about the meat.
7 minute abs.
And music.
Yeah, Andy Easy from Western Australia, in case you couldn't tell by the accent. I thought it was from when Australia and England played a game of cricket in like the late 1800s in Melbourne, and then afterwards having a few beers, lit a fire and threw the stumps on the fire, and then they became the ashes and they got put in an urn or something. I don't know. No idea.
Get ready to dive into the captivating world of cricket's illustrious past with our thrilling new podcast series, Cricket Chronicles, The Ashes and Beyond! Join us on an extraordinary journey as we explore the rich history of the sport, delving deep into the legendary battles, remarkable players and iconic moments that have shaped cricket as we know it today. From the fierce rivalry of the Ashes to the rise of cricketing legends, we'll uncover the untold stories behind the game. Over 6 gripping episodes, we'll take you on a rollercoaster ride through time, revealing the origins of the Ashes, the intense battles between England and Australia, and the significance of that famous urn. So, cricket enthusiasts, get ready to be enthralled. Stay tuned as we bring you Cricket Chronicles, The Ashes and Beyond! An unforgettable podcast journey that will leave you spellbound. Actually, scrap that. We're just doing one podcast because, well, basically life gets in the way. Haven't got time to do 6. The dream of a 6-part series was a podcast too long. From here in, this pod will be forever remembered as the unfinished pod. A pod we didn't have time for. A pod too far. A one-off pod. But all about, though, where the Ashes came from. How did the Ashes get its name? We asked Bridget. This is Bridget from Citrus Wagons. Where do you think the term the ashes come from? Cricket, this is. Do you know cricket?
No.
Do you want a wild stab in the dark why it's called the Ashes? It's between England.
It's actually ironically, that's not far off.
Yeah, indeed. Obviously, we couldn't hear that, but she said because they're dead. We did. We put together thoughts from people from Blighty to Vietnam to Australia to Thailand, where they thought, where we think the Ashes come from.
I don't know. I don't like cricket.
It doesn't matter. It's just your opinion, your personal opinion. What do you know where the term the Ashes come from?
Dead people.
Not wrong there. Thanks, Gary. In fact, they are dead people. But do these ashes contain dead people? We're going to find out the Ashes in this one-off podcast, The Ashes, What the Hoo-Ha, a collation of exotic nonsense filled with facts. Your job is to decipher which is which, nonsense or fact. Okay, let's crack on then. The Ashes is one of the most storied and captivating cricketing rivalries in the world, dating back to the late 19th century. The history of the Ashes begins with the birth of intense competition between England and Australia, the two cricketing powerhouses of the time. The short story starts in 1882 when Australia, an exceptional team led by their captain W.L. Murdoch, who later went on to star in the A-team, achieved their first ever test victory on English soil at the Oval in London. They've been playing each other since 1877. Not the same game, I hasten to add. The games can go on a bit, but not that long. Yet this game was big. It was momentous. A solitary one-off test which swung convention. The defeat left the English cricketing establishment in a state of shock and disbelief. The Sporting Times, a British newspaper, published a mock obituary claiming that English cricket had died and its remains would be taken to Australia. We caught up with Irish John, who wrote that obituary.
It'll be short, though. Why are the ashes called the ashes?
Why are the ashes called the ashes?
Because that leaves England in despair.
That's the short answer. it's
one of the oldest cricketing rivalries. That's why it's called the ashes. And they burnt this little stump. No, a bale. It's a bale, isn't it? They put a bale in. And after the first one, they turned them away back in the 19th century. And it's there. It's sitting there in a little urn. And it's called the ashes. That's why it's called the ashes. It still leaves England in despair.
You don't have to say that. You don't have to keep saying that. Thank you. Yeah, exactly. Please, Irish John, stop saying that. Yes, folks, the obituary stated that the body will be cremated and the ashes taken to Australia. Thus, the term ashes was born. And effectively... It was a bit late coming, but that was my death bell. Anyway, the following year, England's team under the captaincy of Ivo Bligh, whom previously you might recall was set adrift from his ship, the HMS Bounty, following a tiff with Mel Gibson. Anyway, he and his team travelled to Australia seeking redemption and a slice of Lamington, as was his one, but also to reclaim lost honour.
G'day, Prim. The ashes. As far as I know, they were the bales removed from the first time that Australia beat England over in England by some spectators. They were burnt and placed in an urn, and I think the inscription of the urn, which I can't remember, says the day that English cricket died, or... And that's the story of the ashes.
Yeah, you better believe it. Are we getting closer? I think we're getting closer. Although I'm not sure it was the spectators or the bells that were burned. We'll find out. Anyway, the tour, which took place during the English winter of 82 and 83 and the Australian summer of, the same year. Both the year's summer, winter and cricket were fiercely contested. The series went down to the wire, with both teams winning one apiece. Yet copper coil Scottish jokes not required at this time, thank you very much. The third test, however, was played at Melbourne Cricket Ground, the MCG, and it became a defining moment when, and during a dinner hosted by Lady Janet Clark, Bligh vowed to regain those ashes.
"We shall regain those ashes," he said, "just after I've had another slice of Lady Clark's exceptional Lamington." How the ladies did titter.
Bligh went on to note the ashes several times between cake and tittering so much to the delight of the Aussie media, who were happy to fuel the rivalry. England emerged victorious in this third test, winning the series 2-1. A fourth game, which was not scheduled in the series, resulted in an Australian win, which has since raised eyebrows regards its eligibility. Anyway, in the meantime, our chum Mira raised the elusive quest for the hashes
The Ashes, that would be nice, wouldn't it? The Ashes Grail.
There's a question. Oh, it sent me in a bit of a tailspin. Ashes. Oh, intrinsic to this great test match, and I know that, well, apart from that, I should know what it is because it's so intrinsic. It's almost like the Holy Grail. Part of me thinks of like a little, well, apart from some ashes, actual ashes, some kind of, I don't know, metaphor for a long-standing combat, I think about, I don't know, yeah, Holy Grail, almost like a small wooden cup. I think it's the, I don't know. Is it solid? Is it metaphorical? Does it matter? Because the ashes is the ashes. It's seminal. It's emotional. It's tense. A tree? Maybe a tree? Something, tree, wood, cup. I'm wrought, but yeah, great question. And, interested to hear the podcast. Cheers. Bye bye.
Absolutely brilliant. Vought. What a beautiful word. Thanks, Mira, for clearing that up. Anyway, let's get back to our chums. And you're at another dinner following another sumptuous Lady C dinner of platy piss soup, kangaroo balls with the Chico roll. And, of course, Lady C's now infamous Lamington Square slice. After this dinner held at the MCG, a group of Melbourne women presented Bly with a small terracotta urn as a gesture of triumph. Within the year, one of these ladies, a certain Florence Morphy, beat off Lady C's roving eye and her Lamington seduction tactics and became Bly's wife. Bly later became the Eighth Lord of Darnley, and a little while later, just after midnight on that wildly tame spring night and full of desiccated coconut, he became curious as to the contents of the urn. Here, the tale meanders. We know the urn was originally a perfume bottle, and ashes are not in dispute to its contents, but from what beast is not clear. The usual suspects remain to be a burnt cricket ball, or perhaps a bale. Even stumps have been suggested. None, I hasten to add, from the original game in Blighty. Yet, Florence's great-granddaughter, in a recorded document many years later, swears it was no more and no less than a lady's veil, which she hastens to add, swears blindly, belonged to Florence herself as a token of love. Despite the traces of coconut found and carbon dated to just after midnight on a wildly tame spring night in 1883. Perhaps our Kiwi friend Blood can shed some more light.
Ah, the ashes, where do they come from? They come from the bones of the stump of the very first ashes test series that were burned and put in a massive urn of which was formerly supposed to be used as a sperm cup.
There you have it, a sperm cup. Are we getting closer? I don't know, I think we're meandering down the avenues of nonsense. Or are we? Who knows? Anyway, therein the urn became a revered trophy, albeit a personal treasure in pride and place on Bly's mantelpiece. That's a fact, where it remained till his death in 1927. Only then was it shifted to the Marylebone Cricket Club, MCC, representing the prize in future England-Australia Test Series. Sometimes, it is showcased at my local pub, the Cricketers Arms in Brinscall, and occasionally, it tours with Citrus Wagons, the pop-up pub, wherever you want it. Curtis tells us how he sees this legendary tale unfold. Okay, we're in the Cricketers Arms, asking random questions where the ashes comes from, the term the ashes, where do you believe it is conceived?
So I think the ashes originally, is it the wickets, or is it the wickets, or the It's not a cricket ball, is it? It's the wicket. I think it's the burnt wickets of the original. The original Ashes. Well, it wouldn't have been the Ashes, would it? It would have been the a match.
Well defined, exactly. It's clear as mud.
It wouldn't have been the Ashes before that, but yeah, is it that? I don't know. Did they burn them the first match they had, which then became the Ashes? Yeah, possibly.
That's it. There's no right or wrong answer. It's an opinion. Thank you. That was Curtis from Citrus Wagons, Brinscombe. Absolutely beautiful. I don't think you get much clearer than that. Anyway, since that historic encounter, the Ashes have been fiercely contested on numerous occasions. The scorecard currently suggests a 34-32 to Australia, with 6 draws. The rival teams have showcased remarkable skills, tenacity and unwavering passion for victory and varying degrees of cape for the commentary box. The Ashes series has witnessed unforgettable performances from legendary cricketers such as Don Bradman, Ian Botham, Shane Warne and many others who left their indelible mark on the history of the game, whereas others simply left their inaudible mark. This is from Neil and ACG Phuket.
Try this again. It is from a test match where Australia won, and then the newspapers claimed it was the death of English cricket, so they burnt the bales and then put them in an urn to signify that. Hopefully this goes through.
It's goose skin every time. It makes me emotional. Anyway, the Ashes series has also witnessed remarkable contests, including thrilling comebacks, closely fought draws, and instances of individual brilliance that have etched the series into cricketing folklore. The battles between bat and ball, the captivating moments of tension, and the jubilation of victory that have made the Ashes one of the most anticipated and celebrated cricketing events worldwide, where grown men gather around a bonfire and ritually burn their balls. Where does the Ashes come from? The term the Ashes.
It's the burning of the bales from, I believe, the first test match between Australia and England. Maybe not the first, but one of the first matches. And it's the burning of the bales.
Bells. Thanks, Nick, for covering that. The Ashes series has transcended beyond the realm of cricket, representing the intense sporting rivalry, cultural pride, and shared history between England and Australia. It embodies the spirit of competition, camaraderie, and mutual respect that defines the gentleman's game. Armoured with such worthy celebration, folk went on to burn their stumps as well as their balls.
It's because of, was it the first time Australia won it, they sort of said they'd taken away England, because England had invented cricket, so they burnt the stumps, right. And then so traditionally the ashes of the burnt stumps became the trophy, something along them lines anyway.
Good, well done. Yeah, people are quite knowledgeable, don't you think? I think. This is a bit of a tip for, and tipping it to Jim Maxwell commentary. If you know, you know. If you don't, it doesn't matter. For those listening to this podcast on Longwave, we say goodbye as they go to the shipping forecast. Normal service resides here on Radio Primco. The shipping forecast! Okay, to this day, the Ashes remain a pinnacle in cricketing excellence and a testament to the enduring legacy of the rivalry between England and Australia. The urn, that little urn, housed at the Marylebone Cricket Club, MCC, Museum at Lord's Cricket Ground in London, serves as a constant reminder of the historic battles fought for cricketing supremacy. Many an Aussie would have something to say where the urn should be housed. Perhaps Darren Digger, me old mate Digger, our last contributor, has it right.
Okay, the Ashes, and how did they get their name? I believe it come about when the first Australian team, which was an Indigenous team, Aboriginal team, or as they call them today, First Nation team, went to the England and performed very well against a team captained by Ivo Bligh. Bligh wasn't happy about it. We all know about the Bligh's family history with native people. Anyway, in retribution against the Aboriginal team performing so well, they burnt a couple of didgeridoos, and that's where the Ashes come from. And talking about the Ashes, I'd like to mention the other Ashes that recently took place. That was the women's Ashes, and what do we call them? We can't call them the Washers, because that will upset the English ladies. We can't call them the Lashes, because that will upset the Australians, remind them of the original Australians' trip to Botany Bay. Tip is, you're going to call it the girls' Ashes.
180.
He's dreaming. Tell him he's dreaming. Tell him he's dreaming.
RadioPrimco.com.
I used to have a trampoline, and I'd sleep on that. And I was sleeping on the trampoline, and I saw a UFO.
Radio Primco.
Better believe it. That's that goose skin going mad again. Okay, thank you, Digger, for your explanation. Now, as each Ashes test unfolds, fans from both nations eagerly anticipate the resumption of hostilities. Knowing that they are about to witness cricketing brilliance we have so far, it's been absolutely amazing. Sporting drama, yeah, plenty of that. And the continuation of a remarkable history that has spanned over a century. And long may it do so. Long live Test cricket, long live the Ashes. I'm going to leave you with a bit of a giggle from Brian Johnson and Aggers. Just for why not. I've got it in my library for some reason. They prattle on for a minute or so at the minute, so I'll talk over that and just say a big thank you to you for listening. This was The Ashes, What the Hoo-Ha, brought to us by Durban's Bread by Simon Primorolo, available at Amazon. Well, also special thanks to Andrew from Redbridge Studios Bolton for the inspiration. Citrus Wagons, Lancashire's finest pop-up pub, wherever you want it. Cricketer's Arms, Brinskill, the finest first quencher in Blighty, in the ACT Phuket, Thailand.
And it also involved the other star of the show, the doyen of broadcasting, Brian Jonas Johnston. Agus, play it again for us.
He tried to step over the stumps and just flicked a bail with his right.
He managed to try to do the splits over it, and unfortunately the inner part of his thigh must have just removed the bail.
He just didn't quite get his leg over.
Anyhow, he did very well indeed, batting 131 minutes and hit 3 fours. And then we had Lewis playing extremely well for his 47 not out. Agus, do stop it. And Lawrence, always entertaining, batting for 35. 35 minutes, hit a four over the wicket. Agus, for goodness sake, stop it.
Yes, Lawrence played extremely well.
He hit a four over the wicket's head, and he was out for the night. Chaffle came, batted for 12 minutes, then was caught by Haynes on Patterson for two, and there were 54 extras, and he got the ball out for 419. I've stopped laughing now.
RadioPrimco.com.
It's alive! It's alive! It's alive!